Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Gospel just read from St. John chapter 16. We focus on our Lord's words, a little while. In Exodus 15, we read that as the children of Israel were led by their Lord, they wandered for 3 days after the Exodus and found no water. But when they finally came to Marah, they found the water, but the water was so bitter that they couldn't even drink it. That is how things are for you and I, the spiritual Israel. Sometimes we have to drink bitter water in the wilderness of this world. Sometimes the cup that our Lord gives us is the cup of cross and tribulation, just as our Lord drank gall and vinegar from the cross. This is, to be sure, one of the most difficult things to understand about the Christian faith. It's sometimes called the theology of the cross, at other times the theology of suffering, but we might sum it up and simply call it life. How is it that in this life we suffer and undergo so many different trials at different times? Didn't Jesus die on the cross and rise again from the dead so that we would not have to suffer? We all face lots of crosses and trials in this life. They may be physical trials. They may be emotional, personal trials. They may have to do with family or work. The trials you face may be of another sort entirely that no one else even knows about. The trials of this life can be painful and grueling, just like that bitter water that was so hard to swallow for the children of Israel so many years ago. But God showed Moses a tree which he was to set down and plant into that bitter water in order to make it sweet. God does the same for you. He sets before you the tree of life, that is, Jesus Christ in his word. As one pastor put it many years ago, when we sink the tree into the bitter waters of cross and tribulation, when we ponder Christ's cross and suffering, also when we seize and take to heart the comfort of his word, even through that our cross becomes light and sweet. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Come to me, all you who are worn out and overburdened. I will refresh and renew you. Take my yoke upon yourselves, for my yoke is gentle and my burden is light." Our text for this morning about the little while of Jesus going and coming teaches us four things about the doctrine of the theology of the cross. First, it teaches us that all Christians will be subjected to the cross in this life. Second, that our reason cannot understand the mystery of the cross. Third, it shows us why our Lord places us under the cross. And finally, what kind of comfort the Christian may receive by the power of his word. First of all, the scriptures repeatedly teach that Christians will be under the cross their entire life. Congratulations. Jesus says in Matthew 16, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross upon himself and follow me." And St. Paul says, "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." And St. Paul says again in 2 Timothy, "For those who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus have to suffer persecutions." And we hear in Hebrews, "For whomever the Lord loves, he chastises." And Jesus repeatedly says in reference to his own suffering that this must happen, or it is necessary that the Son of Man must suffer, and the like. Perhaps the way to think of it is like this. Our Lord wants to make you into living stones that build up the body of Christ. You are His workmanship, His work of art. Now, stones, in order to be used in building, must be chiseled and polished and worked and shaped so that they are just right. They fit. God is, in effect, chiseling you out and polishing you for the kingdom of God. He is working away at your unbelief and sin, removing the impediments to faith and building you up into His own image, the image of His only begotten Son. Now, if ever there was a mystery, that's it. That's the second point of our text. The disciples didn't understand it, and neither do we. When we are faced with trials and tribulations in this life, our response is more likely to be one of complaining and murmuring against God, rather than rejoicing that He made us worthy to be fashioned into His likeness. It is a mystery that only God can reveal to us by His Word. I think one of these great challenges of the Christian life is believing that because I'm a Christian, I now understand all things. One thing's for sure is you cannot understand suffering. Not like that. So why is it that God must lay crosses and tribulations upon us? It works this way. Our rebirth comes through faith, and faith comes from the Word of God. But the Word of God is seldom planted apart from cross and tribulation. When things are going perfectly in your life, when you are happy, making money, everything seems grounded, who needs God? So in order to cultivate the ground of your heart, God sends tribulations and trials so that you will hear His Word and trust in Him all of your life. Now, maybe at first glance this seems kind of mean. I suppose that to a young child, when a parent disciplines them, it does appear mean. Trust me. I know. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Our Heavenly Father chastens us and allows trials and tribulations precisely because He loves us. When cross and trial grieve you, rejoice and be glad. For this is a sign that God has not abandoned you, but rather that He loves you so much that He wishes to fashion you into something greater. Jesus' cross and empty tomb give you a lens for seeing the world and for seeing your own life. The devil, the world, and your own sinful nature all want you to look at the trials and sufferings of this life and believe that by them God is proving that He has abandoned you. How many of us know people that have faced trials and suffering, and it seems like the devil has used that to snatch them away from the church? But Jesus in our gospel today gives hope. A little while, He says. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? A little while. That's how long the sufferings and trials will last. Now, while you and I are stuck in the middle of things here on earth, a little while can feel like a terribly long time. We may cry out with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord? How long?" Our little while may seem more like the Israelites' 400 years in slavery in Egypt, or their 70 years of exile in Babylon. But just like the Israelites as they prayed in Psalm 126, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Christ our Lord may leave for a little while, as he says in this text, but he returns again and again by his word and sacrament to give you strength for what you need to go on with life. Trust that Christ will take care of you. He who died on the cross and rose again for your salvation will see you through. Whatever it is that you may suffer, whatever the trial is that you may face, it will last but a little while, and then it will be gone. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.